This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Andrew and enter promo code Andrew at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. And by Hover. Find a domain name for your idea. Go to hover.com/WTT and get 10% off your first purchase. Again, that's hover.com/WTT. Hover, domain names for your ideas.
What the heck?
Hey everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. Paul Thorod. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good. How are you?
Where are you? I am in a on an undisclosed location right now.
Is it the men's room at the Madison Square Garden?
I'm at the men's room at the Garden right now, and that's where I'm doing the show from. Actually, we're doing a lot of construction at the house, and I'm working in the city today. So I thought this would be the best place to do a show.
Interesting.
Out of all the places that I could possibly do it, the Madison Square Garden men's room would be the best place to do it.
Yep.
It seems like I am having some bandwidth problems too, so that's always fun. But I think it should clear up if you guys are watching this. Mm-hmm. Paul, we do have a lot to talk about today. I saw you on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right. And we had a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah. First time in quite a while. I got to play with some fun stuff that I'm not going to mention. But I also had a terrible issue with my new MacBook Pro, my 15-inch MacBook Pro, which I want to talk about that because it was I've never experienced anything like that, and it was a very fascinating experience. And you know what? Now I know why Apple has a unbelievable rating in Consumer Reports.
I already know the reason, but please continue.
We'll talk about that in a second, but before we do, we're going to take a minute and talk about our sponsor, and that's Hover, the simple and fast way to buy a domain name. Now, I've been buying domain names from Hover for about 4 years now. They've been a sponsor of the show, but they're also my supplier of domain names. I have over 250 domain names just for myself. You know, I buy them essentially for every possible reason, friends' birthdays, if they don't own their domain name, when kids are born. I have another kid on the way. When he's here, I'm going to buy the domain name. And this is a great way to invest on your property, for your business, for yourself. The great thing about Hover, over 400 domain extensions. Plus, you could connect with – you could do email addresses and everything else. You could start up with the .coms and the .nets. If you want a niche extension, you could do a .design or a .tech. Paul's favorite, .ninja, .horse, and .pizza. Those are also available. With hover.com, and they have a great, great offer here. If you go to hover.com, hover.com/WTT, that's hover.com/WTT, you get 10% off your first purchase when you purchase a domain name from Hover. I've been using Hover again for many, many years, and I probably will continue to do it because it is the easiest way to do it. No upsell like some of those other guys when you go to buy a domain name. Whois privacy is included, so you don't have to add another $10 to your domain purchase. Mm-hmm. Go to hover.com/WTT, got 10% off your first purchase. Thank you, Hover, for supporting the show. So, Paul, where should we begin? Should we talk about my Apple's issue?
Yeah, I think so.
So this was really interesting. I have a 15-inch MacBook Pro, the brand new one. I can actually show you guys here.
So it's probably perfect right out of the box, I would imagine.
Perfect, yeah. So do you see that touch bar? Look how pretty that is, Paul.
I didn't get that. Okay, well, we'll get to that.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, but so I got the 15-inch MacBook Pro. And I'll tell you, I've always had a 13-inch MacBook Pro until this one. And the 13-inch MacBook Pro is essentially useless for anything I'm ever going to do. It's very slow compared to
be
this.
Honest, I prefer the bigger one, you know?
I never did until now.
I'm going to be interested to see if you change your stance on this over time, you know?
I've already changed it because I would not be able to do what I'm doing right now with the 13-inch. It would be – I mean the fan would be at 100%. It would be an absolute terrible experience, and I never realized how terrible it is until I started using this one. It's a real quad core. And this is something that is inherent throughout the entire PC market where the 13-inch versions of, you know, the like the Dell XPS, let's say, 13, you know, what is it, 14 or 13? The smaller one.
13, yep.
That won't be a quad-core i7. It'll be an i7, but it's not a quad-core. It's a dual-core.
Well, by and the way, depending on which one you get it, it's even like a – it's like a Y series Core M basically.
Yeah. You're not getting the fastest version of those. But if you go with a bigger model, a bigger screen, a 15 inch all across the board, you're probably going to get a quad core i7, which is what you really want when you're doing any kind of stuff that's a little heavy lifting. I never realized what a drastic difference it was. And listen, I know, but I didn't even realize it would be a drastic difference with Skype or Google Hangouts.
For you, it matters, right? I mean, you know, you're doing video work and stuff. I mean, I think for a typical, I'm using Office every day, sending email, browsing the web, it's not going to make too much of a difference. But honestly, for the stuff you do, yeah. I mean, I that doesn't surprise me.
No, big difference. So yeah. I got the 15-inch and I've had a great time with it. And I plugged it in on Tuesday morning. It came on. It got very hot very quick. And then it just died. I still do not know what killed it. I have a theory, and I probably won't ever know, but it was something with the power. It just died. So I went to Apple, and immediately they swapped it out.
Right.
No questions asked. Do you have the receipt?
Consumer Reports is calling. What do you think? 5 stars? Is it possible to give them more than 5 stars?
Oh, of course.
Because the fact that I just got completely non-working computer is not going to factor into the fact that the customer service was fantastic.
But you know what? I'll tell you something. It's a great example of that working, right?
Yeah. No, in glossing over the central issue, which is that when you go to an Apple store, most of the people in there are literally there waiting to get service. And even the people you see browsing around the store just have a later time. So they're just killing time. And that's been my experience universally.
So nobody's buying anything.
People are absolutely buying everything things. But, you know, the Apple store experience is a lot like the checkout lane at a supermarket, where they have candy and, you know, magazines and stuff, and you make like an impulse buy, except that at an Apple store, an impulse buy is $1,000, $3,000, you know, whatever. I mean, it's an incredible business, you know, and then everyone feels so good about themselves when they walk out there. They're like, oh, let's give them like huge marks for customer service. Let's ignore the reason we're actually here, which is that my device actually doesn't work.
So I have an idea as to why this is the case with this, right? So I went in there, and I've always said that I've had a great experience whenever something doesn't work with you know, the iPhone. Like, my wife has always had a problem with the speaker. It just stops working. Right. They will always just give her a new one.
Yeah.
Always. No questions asked. That's
what people are looking for, right? I think the issue with customer service is that most people expect some kind of pushback, right? Like, they're going to be like, oh, there's this little red dot inside the headphone jack that doesn't even exist anymore. That means you've got water on it. That's your fault. You know, like, people are expecting to be held accountable for something that's not their fault. And I think when Apple doesn't do that, and I'm sure someone will come up with a story where they have done that, but whatever. I think for the most part, they really do have good customer service. You know, they feel really good about the company, right? It's like, yeah, they may make this stuff that isn't as reliable as everyone thinks it is, but, you know, at least, you know, they're really cool about giving me a new one, you know, and it's
here's the other problem. Let's say I bought an HP, for example, right? Or let's say a Dell. Where would I buy this Dell from? Either Dell's website, or I would get it, let's say, at Best Buy, right?
Yep.
Or any other computer store. I don't know. Let's use Best Buy as an example. A terrible example, but let's use Best Buy as an example. Essentially, everybody working in the Apple store is very familiar with the Apple brand. And it's very easy for them to troubleshoot something, as far as, you know, they do the support inside of the store, and they swap it out inside of the store, and you could also buy it online. If you buy an HP or a Dell online, how is that return process, if it's faulty, going to work for you? You're going to either have to call them, and you're going to have to wait to get it back. They're going to try to fix it. It's a whole process. With Apple, they just tell you to go to the store and get a new one.
I know. No, it's... No, it's legitimately an advantage. It really is.
That's what it is. Not that it's a better piece of hard. I mean, in some cases, but
it almost doesn't matter. I mean, I think they make high quality hardware. I'm not actually suggesting that their stuff is buggy by and large. I don't mean it like that. But on the Microsoft side of the fence, I sort of recommend to people, if they can, especially here in the United States, if they're near a Microsoft store, you know, buy it at the Microsoft store, because they'll get the
the Microsoft kind of experience?
Hopefully. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, they will. I mean, the Microsoft Store is modeled after what Apple's doing. I mean, it's a way to, provide that kind of thing. So, but you're right. You're right. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I have honestly had mostly good experiences bringing stuff to the Apple Store for repair, which I've had to do a lot. The exception being that they have a hard time keeping appointments, you know, like I've gone in at 7 o'clock at night and they said, sorry, we're running behind. It's like the witching hour. And it's like, if it's the witching hour, don't tell me to come in now. You know, that you should know that this is the witching hour, if that's what you're going to call it.
Or you have people like me that totally cut the line.
5 stars. He was so nice. You know, I have a problem with that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. By the way, I walk by the Fifth Avenue app, Microsoft store also, because they're both on Fifth Avenue.
Right.
Boy, what a difference in the amount of people in the store.
Yeah. Well, that's big because difference. The PCs don't have to be fixed as much, Andrew.
That's probably what it is. So afterwards, I brought, you know, it was already getting late, and I decided to see you and meet up with you. Which I met up with you and Mary Jo was there and a couple other people stopped by, which was a very good conversation. What was your experience with this? Because you got a couple minutes with this Mac, and you know, we had made fun of the keyboard and we had made fun of the touch bar in the past and the stupid whatever the trackpad that's gigantic now. Yeah. So I want to get your input on this because you actually had some hands on time with us.
Yeah. So when the I almost said the original, when the new MacBook first came out, which I think, let's say, was 2 years ago, I think, in the spring sometime.
Yeah, 2 years.
That was the first time they used that new type of keyboard, which they call, I think they call the butterfly, or they have butterfly keys, or whatever the terminology they use is, not to be confused with the old
butterfly
IBM
effect. ThinkPad
butterfly keyboard. Yeah. Butterfly effect, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like every time you hit a key, someone dies in Indonesia. No, I don't mean like that. But that keyboard was terrible, right? And remember when that machine came out that a lot of people figured this will turn into the next MacBook Air. Like, in other words, and by the way, it still might. Like, I think a lot of people think they're going to release a 13 or 14 inch version of it this year, and that becomes the MacBook Air, right? The thin, super light, you know, kind of ultra mobile computer. Okay, fine, whatever. So, you know, I'm interested in hardware. I mean, I went to the Apple Store to check it out. I was really curious. The screen's a little too small for me, whatever. That keyboard and the frictionless trackpad, right, which I've talked to a couple of guys from PC makers who have told me that the reason Apple went to that style of trackpad wasn't because it's better technology or more modern or whatever. It's because literally the machine is so thin that they can't put battery in there otherwise. In fact, I don't think they can even put battery under the trackpad on a MacBook.
I think regardless. It's on the sides, right?
Yeah, I think it's actually around it because it's so thin. And so the problem with these two types of hardware devices, the keyboard and the trackpad, is that they require a range of motion, right, to work properly. And so Apple has decided to emulate that expectation we have around both of them in different ways, right? And so I don't like it, but whatever. I mean, you know, who knows?
It's a little big. It's a little too big.
Well, I'm talking about it on the original MacBook. I mean, whatever that technology is called, you know, I find it to be a little off. Like, I don't think it feels natural. The keyboard on that original MacBook, it's not the original MacBook, but the one from 2 years ago, was terrible. It was unusable, and I don't understand how anyone uses this. And so if you flash forward a year to about a year ago now, they came out with a second gen version of that. I think it had a slightly improved keyboard. I don't know about the trackpad. And then you flash forward to the machine you have, and now again they've improved it yet again. And I had not tried a MacBook Pro until I saw yours. And I have to say, couple of things. On the negative side, that trackpad is humongous. It didn't seem to have a lot of palm rejection issues. So who cares? It's fine, right? As long as you can type on that thing and have it not move the mouse cursor around, which by the way has been a problem for me on that HP Spectre X360, the 15-inch version, which has also a very wide trackpad, so my palms hit it on either side. I find that to be very disruptive. So I didn't experience that with that device. I didn't do a lot of clicking with it. I don't have any opinion about the quality of that. But I will say, and I think this is, you know, 15 minutes later what you were trying to get me to say, is I thought the typing experience was fine. You know,
yeah,
it's very loud. It is a very loud keyboard. In fact,
I'm astonished how loud it is.
I don't want to betray. Actually, he might have said this publicly. So I was at a reviewer's
workshop. We don't have to name names. We could just say that someone.
This is a different story. I mean, I don't know if you were even privy to this. There was a guy at the reviewer event that I went to the other day who was a prominent reporter or reviewer from a prominent tech publication who was tweeting about the asshole behind him whose keyboard was so loud it was all he could hear. And so, in other words, there's someone sitting behind him and he's typing away and it's clack, 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 clack. Clack, 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 clack. Like it was like a like an old mechanical typewriter. So he turned around to see what it was, and it was a MacBook.
So yeah, when I saw you, I took it out. I'm like, Paul, type on this thing, and you're like, holy crap, it's loud. I go, yeah. I don't know if you guys could hear it. Hold on, let me try if I could do this. Okay,
it's amazingly loud. It's really loud.
Yeah, let me see if I could do this. I don't know if you could hear it. You hear that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Actually, you know what? I can give you some data on this. And this will be so ponderous, it will only take forever. I actually have the sound measurements on this thing.
Oh, you do? Okay, excellent.
Yeah. So I don't. Maybe you know how decibels work, right? If you go up in range, if you go up in decibels, like if you go from 44 to 45, it's not 1% difference, right? It's some big percent difference. So the difference between 44 and 50 is actually really big.
Yeah.
Decibel-wise, if that makes sense.
So I know from buying fans when I'm building a computer. So anything under 20 dB is kind of okay.
Okay. So a ThinkPad X1 Yoga, which is an excellent keyboard, is 45 decibels when you're typing away. A MacBook Pro, the one you have, is 51.
Wow.
It's actually the highest noise level of any laptop sold today.
So I'm curious as to what the previous MacBook generation MacBooks. Yeah.
It's funny, I've been kind of playing around with it with keyboards since I experienced that, and I would say even the HP Spectre X360 I've been using, the 15-inch version, actually it's pretty loud for a keyboard. I don't have the X1 here with me anymore to test that to see how they compare. And I don't have a way to measure this here. But I want to say, based on the information I see in front of me, which I can't discuss yet, the HP is probably in the 44 to 45 decibel range.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it seems loud. That keyboard seemed amazingly loud. Now,
it's a very different sound also. It's not the click-clacky that we're kind of used to with these keyboards. It's a very deep... I mean, if I type right now,
it almost seems artificial, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, it almost does. I thought I could turn it off.
Yes, it does. Right. And I would be surprised if you couldn't, in a way. Like, it doesn't seem like the sound is caused by metal on metal or plastic on metal or whatever you want to say. Like, it's not. But I guess it must be, right? It must be.
Well, you could actually turn the click off on the MacBook. If you don't want it to click, you could turn the sound of the click off.
You're talking
on
about
the trackpad. On the trackpad.
Yeah. So anyway, now that I've spent 15, 20 minutes ragging on this thing, let me say this. I was surprised by how good the typing experience was on that thing. I really liked it. And there's something interesting going on there where Apple on a number of devices now is emulating the feel and even like the sound of real world objects, like a mechanical objects through technology. So the home button, for example, on the iPhone 7 is like that. It's not a real button, but you press it and there's a little haptic effect. And it doesn't emulate exactly the previous iPhone buttons, right? If you have like the iPad you have, for example, I don't think that, well, maybe the iPad you have does do this, but most iPads don't, most iPhones don't. It's a normal button press. It physically pushes in that you feel it kind of click. You know, I don't know if it hits on the bottom or something. This one doesn't feel like that. Here's what's goofy. It feels better, right? I actually prefer this. Once you use this, it's hard to go back to another iDevice that doesn't have it. And I got to say, I had this conversation with the guy from CNET a couple of weeks ago. I was talking about how much he liked the keyboard. And I was like, really? I said, I've heard from most people that it's terrible. And he's like, no, this, he goes, they really got it right this time. And I only used it for a little while. I mean, I'm just speaking out of turn here in a way, but It wouldn't surprise me, like, if you use this device primarily going forward, not only do I think you will get used to it, because I know you will, but I think you will grow to prefer it.
I'm already having adjustment issues when I go back to the 13-inch, the previous generation 13-inch. Yeah.
You're hitting the buttons really far. Like, it probably feels right.
Well, you know what? No, it's the looseness of the previous key buttons. You know, it's wobbly, a little loose. Kinda? Yeah, it's a little wobbly. It's interesting. Listen, it's very interesting.
It is very interesting, and I got to give them some credit for this, because if you consider like the island style keyboard, that is what you're talking about on your MacBook 13-inch, right? Apple did not invent that. They popularized it, right? So when they came out with, I don't know if it was the original MacBook Air or the one that everyone's been using ever since, like the second version of the MacBook Air, but on whatever product, Apple came out with this island-style keyboard. In fact, they use it on their PC keyboards, on their desktop keyboards as well. Before that, desktop keyboards always had those big, you know, the full-size keys that we associate mm-hmm. with like the IBM PC from 1981 or whatever. As this kind of keyboard gained in popularity, the companies that made keyboards that were well regarded, like it was IBM at the time with ThinkPad, started experimenting with their own style of island style keys. And off the top of my head, so I think the ThinkPad Edge, the original version, was an experiment to see whether their customers would accept these different kind of keys. But the goofy thing that happens is when you move to this kind of keyboard, even though it doesn't look like it could possibly be better, it ends up being better than the old style keyboards. And I think that Apple this time is doing that again. But this time, I'm not saying they invented this. I don't really know, you know, the genesis of this kind of technology. But let's say they invented it. They certainly are about to popularize it, I think. I think they're onto something. And so we used to have these big mechanical keys, right, with the keycaps, like big keycaps. Like, it was like a cone that you would take off of a spring. And then we've moved to these kind of pretty flat, squarish keys, island-style keys, right, meaning there's a separation between each key on the keyboard deck, right? And now we've moved to what do they call these things? Do you even know what they're called? I don't know. Whatever this keyboard type is.
I don't know if Apple has a specific name for them. I don't know what they're calling them.
There's stuff going on, like other companies do this. HP does this, Dell does this, I'm sure Lenovo does this, where there's some ideal key travel on a traditional laptop keyboard. It's like 1.5 millimeters. And one of the big tricks that they try to do is they use different technologies like force displacement and whatever to make keys that don't travel that much feel like they do.
Interesting.
And I think Apple has arrived at something that works really, really well. It's interesting to me. I write for a living. I'm always looking for that perfect keyboard experience. I would say on the PC side, like Surface Book is right there. That new HP Spectre X360, the 15-inch version, is right there. I really feel like they've reached an apex almost. And then I used that, and I was like, holy crap. Like, I actually really like this. Like, it was kind of a strange moment for me.
Because I
can't buy one, they're too expensive. But
one thing that I love on this thing is the Touch ID on the Mac. Mm-hmm. I've been using it constantly at this point.
Right, mostly for emojis.
Mostly for emojis. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Logging in is awesome, right?
The logging in, yeah.
So one of the things you know this, I think, because you use a Mac. On the PC, we have a variety of ways to log into computers, and all of them are more convenient than typing in a password. I typically will use a PIN on most of my computers, but you have Windows Hello today. You can use a camera. You can use a fingerprint reader if you have that. That's cool. On the Mac, like the Mac you had before, the one I have now, you have to type in a password, right? Yeah. Or just not have a password. I mean, there's no other way to do it. Well, I'm sorry. Actually, if you have an Apple Watch, you can do a kind of a proximity thing now. But they don't have like PINs, and they don't have fingerprint readers and stuff like that. But now they do. And so you know from using your device, and I know from using an iPhone, that Touch ID sensor is awesome, right? It's awesome.
It's those little things, you know, those little conveniences. Yeah. Now, if we want to, you know, they add that, and then they add a gigantic inconvenience, and that's taking out USB. and going straight to USB Type-C or Thunderbolt 3, whatever they're calling it. I have to tell you, that is a tremendous inconvenience. And I think the answer here is going to be when it's not an adapter that converts it over, but it's going to be, you know, like a cable that's just USB to USB Type-C. Like, that's going to be our answer, not these multiple plugs.
Yeah, actually, you know, yeah, I sort of, I go back and forth on this one. I will say the fact that your computer has four USB-C ports on it, right?
Yeah, yeah, and it has a headphone jack.
It has a headphone jack.
Yeah. Which I was really surprised about.
You almost don't need four ports, right? I mean,
it would almost be better. No, you need four because you're covering one. If you get one of these, like the one that I have, like one of these.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could see
I see, yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, okay. But you bought a very specific thing. I mean, here, let me unplug. Let me just show you the thing I use. When I travel, there's a couple of things I always bring with me as kind of a nicety, right? And so, this is a USB-C version of just a little, it's got three USB.
You know, that makes more sense.
But it also has on the end an Ethernet jack, right?
Yeah.
And you can of course get versions of this that have video and whatever, but for many years, I still have over my bag like the normal USB version of this device. And now, because a lot of the devices I travel with have USB-C, I have this version of it. And but you know, here's the thing: the truth is, I don't actually need it that much. You know, I really don't.
I'll tell you something. I needed it to connect my microphone. I mean, for me, listen, most people are not connecting microphones and webcams. You know, they're going to use the webcam that their laptop comes from, especially if you have a Mac. You're going to use, you know, the iSight camera, whatever, the FaceTime camera now. But I needed this to connect my camera to and my microphone to. And then I realized that it doesn't have pass-through audio. So I can't hear my audio through my microphone because I could connect my mic through here. My headphone through the mic, and it doesn't work. So it's things like that we're going to see happening now. I connect it to the computer and it's fine, but this is going to be an adjustment. This is a long-term investment. This is going to be a major pain in the butt for a lot of people until all these makers start supplying you with the proper cable.
Yeah. So I sort of feel like, the Mac audience is the right audience to do this first because they tend to be a little more on the leading edge.
Are they in the leading edge?
Yeah, they are. No, I think they are by and large. I mean, I don't mean to a one, but you're a special case, although you could almost make the argument that any pro user, any pro customer on the Apple side is going to buy a pro device like you is a special case in the sense that you have very specific needs. And so, there are photographers out in the field who expect to have a card reader and they're not getting it. And plugging something into a port that's dangling off the side is not the answer they're looking for. It's not efficient. Yeah. It's not elegant, et cetera. And I do understand that. And I feel like the truth is I probably have 20 laptops in this room that you can see around me. Every single one of them probably has some kind of a micro SD port or something.
Yeah.
I never use that for anything ever, not once. Like never.
And see, I use it every day. And I use mine every day.
But that's just right. But that's just me. And so these I just got the greatest news of all time.
Can you say it?
A weekly team meeting has been canceled, which was gonna happen this afternoon. So
that's great.
The only good thing about meetings is when they get canceled.
I'll tell you, Paul, I'm looking a little old in the face. Can we just comment about this? Look at these wrinkles I'm getting.
Yeah, you know what that is, though? You know what it is?
What is that?
It was Tuesday.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I'm giving the high sign here. This is a great time to talk about an ad before I forget to do that.
Yes, please do.
My boss here is telling me, he goes, maybe it's time for a commercial, Andrew. Yes, it is. We're going to talk about Casper mattresses, Casper.com. Guys, I've been talking about Casper for years, just like Hover. It's amazing. Paul, all these advertisers, they end up sticking with us. I don't know why. They end up staying. with Casper, here's the great thing. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for almost 2 years now. Paul has a Casper mattress, and many, many, many of our viewers have a Casper mattress. My mother-in-law bought a Casper. My wife's aunt bought a Casper. I just bought one for my father. I bought one for my brother because they're doing some remodeling for them. It's amazing how comfortable these mattresses are. how inexpensive they are when you compare it to other premium mattresses. And you get free delivery. The thing comes in a box. I had to move, Paul, I had to move a mattress to the attic, okay? I had a queen size, like this gigantic queen size mattress that I gave to somebody. And I had to move it to their attic. I could not move this thing to their attic. It was impossible. It would just not go. You know what I did? He goes, you know what? Forget it, Andrew. What's that mattress you guys talk about? I said, Casper. He used the offer code. He got $50 off towards his purchase. He bought this beautiful king size mattress for his attic because he has this nice attic up there. And it comes in a box. He just took the box. He opened it up. He set it up. Boom. Done. He didn't have to worry about bringing it. If you live in an apartment like many, many people do in New York or a major city, this is the best way to do it. You don't have to hire a moving company to bring it in. You get the mattress, comes in a box, you open it up, it opens up, and it's perfectly, perfectly fine. It's one thing to think about getting a mattress in a box. It's another one to actually sleep on it and realize how great this mattress is. And I would not tell you guys this if it was not good. I was a little apprehensive when I first got the thing, and I said, you know what, how good could it be? It is the best mattress I've ever slept on. And you could try it out too. You get 100 nights free to sleep on this thing if you for a trial period. You purchase the mattress, you sleep on it, painless returns within a 100-day period. If it's not for you, it's not for you. You could just send it right back. And you get $50 off when you go to casper.com/Andrew. Terms and conditions obviously do apply here. But they have a whole list of other things. They have bedding now. They sell foundations for the bed. This company has grown unbelievably. You go to the subway here in New York City, which I'm riding all the time now, covered in Casper rats. So it's amazing to see a company grow to this level. Casper.com/Andrew. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/Andrew. I want to thank them for supporting the show. See, I like talking about Casper. It's easy.
It's always easy nice when you can – if you have to do advertising, right? It's stuff you actually use and like. That really helps.
We have another ad that's starting out soon, and it's for a suitcase company. And they make high-tech suitcases for tech devices, you know, where you could – you know, they're
obviously critical that I get whatever you're talking about right now.
Oh, by the way, they're sending you one. I had to tell you that. But it's unbelievable,
absolutely
actually.
Critical.
Yeah, it's actually great, and we're going to talk about it in the coming weeks. But, you know, they sent it to me, and I love it because I've been lugging this thing around. I had to bring a bunch of equipment. I didn't use it to travel, but I had to bring a bunch of equipment here to the city. And it was unbelievable how easy it was, and this thing is like a rock. So we'll talk about that next week. Before we run out of time, because we were going to do a little quick show today because I'm not in my studio. I'm in an office here in the city. I'm in the men's room at the Garden. this is where I work. This is what I've been telling my wife for all these months now. I've been going to the city. I just go and I hang out in the men's room, just sit there on the floor with my laptop, my MacBook, which, by the way, I've
put like a little jar on the floor, and maybe occasionally people throw change at you or whatever.
Need to buy apparel for my Mac, please. $45 later, I bought a goddamn
second
dongle.
Second child's on the way. Please think of the children.
You know what? That's what they should fund the Patreon. Think of my kids. I need diapers. Patreon.com/whatthetechguys. Let's talk about the S8.
Yeah.
For all those people that said, it just looks like the S7. It's just a small upgrade. You know what? This is a significant upgrade. They've done a very good job with this.
So we'll see what happens with this, by the way. But I actually did pre-order one already.
You did?
Yeah.
How much did it cost?
$850. There's only one configuration, right? So it's in the United States. 64 gigs. You can choose between two or three color choices. We don't get all the color choices here in the U.S. I think blue.
It has. I was so out of it yesterday. It has an SD micro SD slot, right?
Yes, it does. Which, by the way, is huge for me. So that's great. I mean, that's been one of the many issues that I have. With the Google Pixel XL, it doesn't have expansion, right? So I got the cheap one because I'm an idiot. It only has 32 gigs of storage. That's not enough. I wish I could have done that again, but, you know, whatever. So this one comes with 64 out of the box. That's the only configuration. You can't pay more to get more storage, but you can get micro
SD. $100, get a 256 micro SD on that thing, and now you have over 300 gigs.
Yeah, I mean, you'll be good for quite a while.
Ever.
It's a super wide screen. It's tall in portrait mode, obviously, because it's a phone, because it has almost no bezel on this. Well, it has no bezel. It's the curved screen like the one you have. And then it's got a much smaller bezel on the top and the bottom. And so I don't remember the exact aspect ratio, but I want to say it's 18.5 by 9. So if you think about like a widescreen movie, like if you go to the theater.
What is it, 18.5 by 9?
I think so, yeah. So a widescreen movie is 16 by 9. Yeah. So this thing is a little wider still. And, of course, when you do it this way, you know, we've talked about this with computers. It's not as obvious on phones, but it even seems to stretch out a little bit further. And so that's interesting. It's all high-end spec stuff, 4 gigs of RAM, Snapdragon 835. It's got the same camera that's in your phone on the back, so 12 megapixels, optical image stabilization. Samsung claims the software is a little bit better, but you know what? You know this from your experience with that phone. Who cares? That's a great camera. The selfie camera is better, but I don't personally care about that too much. I think the style of it is beautiful. It's expensive. You know, it's a flagship phone. There's some interest. We'll have to see how this works in real life, but it does a Windows Hello type thing where you can do optical image, what do you call it? Optical recognition, facial recognition. So you can sign in onto the phone. All the tests I've seen so far make it look like it's very fast. The home button, is it the home button? The home button slash fingerprint, you know, reader kind of thing, or actually built under the screen. And so you go through the screen and we'll see if Samsung is as good as Apple is at making that kind of thing work. I don't know that anyone caught this, by the way, but there was a small announcement on the Google Android developer blog yesterday saying, by the way, Android natively supports these ultra wide screens.
Yeah.
And if you as an Android developer want to specifically support the Samsung phones, you could do so very easily. And it's not something that requires some new version of Android or whatever. Like it's kind of built in. So we'll see.
I think I'm going to, because I'm up for an upgrade on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think I'm going to upgrade because, by the way, I had the S7 and I had the S6 also, which I actually have here also. I have to tell you, the S6 for me was more of a stable phone than the S7.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I had a lot of problems with the S7. The battery life is atrocious on this thing.
Yep.
It's always been bad. The camera is not that great. It was not a major improvement over the S6. Okay. Yep. I actually take photos with the S6, and I sometimes feel that it performs better in low light settings than the S7.
It's like me with the iPhone.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
They so both let me throw out a theory. Let me throw out a theory for you with regards to like general phone quality, right? Buying a Samsung right now would be like going to Jack in the Box after they poison some people. It's probably the safest thing on earth to do right now because those guys are, you know what I mean? They're going to be super careful this time to make sure it's right. You know, the phone that you have, the S7, is the battery enclosed or is it something you can take out?
No, you can't take out. No more. That's over.
Yeah. Okay. So I know the S8 is like that. The other thing is, and maybe you know this off the top of your head, I didn't see any notation to this effect, but when you buy the phone directly from Samsung, you can choose which carrier you're going to use. And, I chose AT&T. That makes me a little nervous because what that means is they don't really have a universal. Well, it might not mean this, but it suggests they don't have one truly universal device. Like, I'd almost wish that this thing was universal and would work anywhere. More to the point, I wish it was completely unlocked. But I assume if I'm buying it outright, that, I mean, AT&T would, it can't be locked to the carrier, right? Could it? I mean, this must be, it must be unlocked. I'm buying it.
It has to be unlocked. Yeah. If they're going to supply it on multiple carriers, yeah, you could bring it to whoever you want.
Okay. What I want to be able to do is, although I guess these days it's becoming less crucial, but it'd be nice if I could bring it to Europe and, put a SIM in it or whatever and just use it that way.
Yeah, I'm very interested in it. So I'm definitely going to order it and replace this S7 and throw it in the trash because it was absolutely terrible. And, I didn't – when I first got it, they weren't used to this curved display. So, I cracked the screen immediately and they wanted $350 to fix it. And it was a whole scenario. So
I'm going to have to buy new pants. And so are you because it's so tall. It's going to be hanging out the front of your pants.
Is it bigger than this?
Yeah, this is really tall. Oh, that's the other thing. So – very unique to this design, aside from the aspect ratio of the screen, is the size of the screen. So there's two versions. There's an S8 and an S8 Plus. The S8 is a 5.8-inch device. That's really big. That's pretty much where phablets are maxing out these days. But the bigger one, and there is a bigger one, the Plus, is 6.2 inches. And so that's even bigger than like a Motorola 6. It's bigger than that Lumia 1520 that was out a few years ago. Those were 6-inch devices.
The regular one, what's the screen size? How big is the regular S8? 5.8. And what's the plus?
Big. These are really big. 6.2. These are very big devices. Like they've really gone all in on big. Like they're not doing a little one. So, I mean, obviously Samsung has other phones for that. But my wife has been stuck on her Note 4, which is two versions old, right? And so they made a Note 5, which she didn't qualify for because it was a year later. Then they came out with the Note 7, which of course explodes and they don't sell anymore.
But now
she's kind of stuck. And so I told her about this and I said, you know, because she's kind of up for her upgrade and like you are. And I said, you really might want to get this. She really likes the bigger phones. She never uses the little pen, which I think is essentially the differentiator between a Note and an S.
By the way, if you could get an S7, you could get Note 7, right?
Well, you can get a refurbished one, maybe.
Refurb.
She's not getting it. No.
Is your homeowner's insurance going to cancel if you get one of those?
This is the airline's problem now, Andrew. I'm not going to worry about that.
So I'm curious about this phone because it looks great. And, you know, the iPhone, whatever the next version is going to be called, is most likely going to that curve, you know, glass, you know, edge to edge display. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that.
I mean, I very much prefer iOS. I really do. But I very much on the Android side, if I have to use Android, I mean, what I want is that kind of pure Android experience. And
I'm
so
telling you, Paul,
I know
you may really enjoy this because I was one of those that wanted the pure Android experience, the pure Google experience, and I totally changed my tune on this.
You can, you know this. I mean, you even know this. You can put like the Google launcher on this thing, can't you? If you don't want to, you know,
you could. You could, but I actually don't dislike the launcher. I don't dislike what Samsung has done with this version.
No, I mean,
I'll
try it. Obviously, I'll try it. But okay, I don't know.
Paul, I
haven't owned one of these things in 3 years. I had a Samsung Galaxy S5, which was the last crappy, you know, S device they made.
Terrible.
That was all plastic. It had that weird dimpled golf ball plastic back and. It was just so cheap and crappy. You know, it was like plastics that were made to look like metal, but they were just plastics. It was so terrible.
So before we wrap up, because I gotta get back to work here. Can you talk about the Microsoft version of this? Are they going to be selling in the Microsoft store? Which I think is very interesting, and I don't know if that's a good sign for Windows Phone fans.
Well, there's no good news for Windows Phone fans. I got an email from Microsoft this morning and explaining this, and I had to go look this up because I had this vague understanding that Microsoft had some agreement with Samsung about putting their apps on their phones. And sure enough, if you go back 2 years, Samsung and Microsoft were involved in a payment dispute because back before Samsung became the biggest cell phone maker on earth, they agreed to pay intellectual property indemnification or patent indemnification to Microsoft because Microsoft owns all these patents that apply to Linux and apply to Android. And it was fine for a couple of years, but then Samsung started selling so many phones that they actually were spending over $1 billion a year paying Microsoft. So they stopped paying Microsoft. And basically what they would try to do was reach a lower fee or something. And so these guys went to court. Microsoft had to sue them and they went to court. So in February 2015, they settled. We don't know the terms of that. I presume Samsung is back to paying Microsoft something. But as part of the deal, Samsung agreed to join a group of other Android handset and device makers who are bundling Microsoft apps on their devices. And actually, the first device that went out the door, I think, from Samsung was the Samsung Galaxy S6 from 2 years ago. Had a couple of Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneDrive and probably OneNote, something like that. Skype, maybe. I don't know. And I haven't paid attention to what you get on Samsung devices since then. I don't really know. I don't know if it's all devices. Some devices, I have no idea. Anyway, so I get this note today, and it says, hey, I just want to let you know, Microsoft, through their retail stores, meaning not online, but in the physical stores in the United States, will be selling the Samsung Galaxy S8. And
very interesting.
Yeah. But here's how this works. And now part of this is me reading into this a little bit. But let me tell you exactly what they said. The software is not going to be on the phone. So it's going to be everything I just said plus Outlook. And so it's a full suite of Microsoft apps, right? The apps are not on the phone. But as part of the buying experience, you'll open up the box in the store. You'll connect to the Wi-Fi in the Microsoft store. And Microsoft's, their version of the Genius Bar, whatever they call it, Answer Desk or whatever, will walk you through the setup of the phone. And at that time, those apps will be downloaded to your phone. And this is what I think, based on what I just said. But
see,
what
I just said
is what
I would really like it. I would really like to go in there, buy it with the Microsoft, you know, launcher and the Microsoft apps, and that's it.
I don't think it's that stuff, right? Samsung's not going to let them contort the phone like that. But here's the
2 years free of Office.
Well, yeah, okay. I don't know. But I think you're just getting apps. I honestly, I don't think you're getting anything more from Microsoft than you could just download from the web or from the Play Store for free. But here's the thing. I actually think the thing that causes those downloads to happen is that you're connecting to the Microsoft Store Wi-Fi. I don't think that box that contains the phone is any different than the box that Samsung is sending to Best Buy, to Verizon, to wherever's going to sell, Costco, wherever sells these devices. I think it literally is tied to the Microsoft Store Wi-Fi. I think you could buy this phone at Costco, not open it up, bring it to the Microsoft Store, inside the store, open it up, connect to their Wi-Fi, and I think the same thing will happen. I think that's all it is.
So we'll find out when I get mine.
I'm going to find out. So on April 21st, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring it to the Microsoft Store.
Are you coming to New York?
I think that's how it's going to work. What's that? No, I'll go to the one in Boston. But I mean,
okay, cool. Excellent.
Yeah.
Paul, so it is getting loud in here, and I got to go.
Yeah, I can hear the toilets flushing.
The toilets are flushing. The janitor's coming in. Yeah.
All right.
There's a basketball game happening tonight, so I got to go. I got to go and clean up here. Sorry, guys, for the last minute change to the schedule, but next week we're back to normal. We're going to do the show from the studio. Everything's back to normal next week. Paul, thank you for being patient with me.
No problem. You
it was wonderful seeing you and Mary Jo.
Change your schedule for me, so no worries.
I'll always change it for you, so we'll do that. Okay. All right, guys, that's it for this week. I know we'll continue this, obviously, next week on the show. We'll continue discussing this because especially when we get the device in our hands, it'll be a lot of fun to talk about. Yeah. We'll see you all next week. Take care.